Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers, here with your host, Bravo and Botox slash Emily, here with you on Monday, September the 30th, to bring you all your Bravo TV slash mom talk gossip, because I've got a little bit of Secret Wives of Mormon Lives. I always want to say Secret Lives of Mormon Lives instead of Wives. News for today. We don't have as many news items as I usually have, just in terms of like separate stories, but the stories that I got are hot. Like, shit is heating up and they're like pretty big things, especially in the OC world. After that episode on Thursday, which, okay, spoiler alert. Because I'm going to talk about something in the episode. So after that episode and Ryan and Eddie getting into it and Tamara storming out and stuff, shit has just really heated up, especially with Tamara going on Watch What Happens Live. Okay, so let's just get into it because this is all news that is like broke Saturday morning. So it's like pretty fresh. And basically what happened is Tamara was on Watch What Happens Live. And she stupidly, as she does, started running her mouth as she has in the past and may have gotten herself into yet another lawsuit. So, okay. So Tamara said, she basically said something along the lines, like she was asked by Andy about, you know, Ryan, and does she regret things that she said, etc. And then she basically said that Ryan stole money from the MLB player. Okay. So that was kind of, you know, this is kind of like Ryan's personal business, which again, we all know about because it's been in the news and it's a huge story, right? That money that he was given as, I believe that he was paid back as a bookie from some guy, basically that guy was taking the money from this MLB player illegally. He was supposed to be like his financial manager or something. I can't remember exactly what his position was, but point of the story is that Tamara basically went on Watch What Happens Live and accused Ryan of stealing directly from the MLB player because of the way that she phrased it. Now, I mean, listen, it's arguable, I guess, if you received payment from someone who stole the money, you know, it's arguable. Did Ryan know about it? Did he not? You know, in my opinion, he probably knew, but, you know, he's not guilty because he hasn't been tried, right? And I don't even know if it will go to trial because from what I've heard, he's made a deal with the FBI where, you know, he's going to give information and probably get, you know, a slap on the wrist or something like that. Because, you know, I don't think he's like the main person that they're trying to nail on this. He's not like the guy who was directly taking the money out of the baseball pitcher's account. So, yeah. So either way, you know, Andy kind of reminds Tamara on the show that, you know, everyone is innocent until proven guilty. It's America, all that kind of stuff. And however, you know, she said it. You can tell, like, I think Andy was like trying to help her. But then, you know, she said it and she kind of said it like fact. She didn't say allegedly, you know, she didn't protect herself in any way. You'd think that she would have learned from the Jim Bellino thing. But maybe we should know that she didn't learn from that because, I mean, she's friends with Alexis again. So I don't know. It doesn't seem like Tamara, I don't know, learns lessons, I guess. Okay, so let's go into what was actually said now. So this has all been happening Saturday morning. And basically, Tamara made a video. It's her and Eddie walking down the street. in New York City, and they're like talking about what they're going to do. And I guess this was after, you know, they had recorded Watch What Happens Live. And you can tell, you know, they're kind of like putting on an act for the camera, and they're both like acting just a little too jovial, you know, than what would seem natural considering the topic that they're discussing, especially Eddie. I just feel like Eddie is always just kind of like blah, especially lately. Like, he's just always like resting bitch face. He always just seems annoyed. I don't know. Like, I just get that vibe from him. And Eddie's all like got this like fake kind of like cheery smile on his face. I don't know how else to describe it. And Tamara's like, you know, I did misspeak on a couple of things on Watch What Happens Live. One of the things that I misspoke on, and then she like clarifies some like small thing as though she's trying to make it like really casual. You know what I mean? Like, she's trying to bury the lead in the sense of like, she's still gonna, she's gonna address the Ryan thing, but she's trying to make it like, oh, I was, you know, I was going to make this video anyways. I didn't just purposefully make this Instagram video just to apologize and set the record straight and correct what I said. You know, it just came up naturally. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can tell she doesn't want to give this as like an official apology to Ryan, because I think there's maybe a little too much pride and Eddie doesn't like him and all that. I mean, but you can tell Eddie is like, we needed to make this fucking video. Like, you can tell Eddie is like, he's like helping Tamara with what she's saying, all that kind of stuff. But basically Tamara's like, I misspoke on the Ryan thing. I should have said, you know, I shouldn't have said that he stole the money. This is America. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty. You know, I don't know what his involvement was. There's no, you know, I don't know any evidence. Like, she backtracks and Eddie's like, yep, everyone's innocent till proven guilty. You know, we don't know that he stole it or that he's even involved with it. Like, they really go and backtrack it. And then she's like, okay, guys, so here's the restaurant that Eddie and I are going to tonight. You know, she flips the subject. So I saw this video posted, and then like an hour later or so, there's been some responses. So, you know, somebody commented on it and said, trying to avoid a new lawsuit, it seems. Convenient to misspeak on a public platform. I don't buy anything this woman is selling. And then Ryan, as in Jen's Ryan, responded to that and wrote, facts. I had Tamara served yesterday, hence the apology. Okay, Mr. Ryan. Wow. He is like, he was coming in hot in that episode, like reading Tamara down. And then now he's doing it again. So crazy. And then somebody else said, Ryan, please get yourself a good lawyer and sue Tamara's ass off. She's out here trying to do damage control, saying, I didn't mean to say Ryan stole money. We are behind you and Jen. And then again, Ryan replies and says, facts, I already did. I hired Jeff Neri, which is the same amazing attorney that represented Jim Valino in his victorious slander and defamation lawsuit against Tamara years ago. She was served yesterday, round two, boxing glove emoji. I mean, like, Tamara might have to quit the show because, well, I guess she can't now because she has another lawsuit, but... Oh my God, Tamara. The amount of years and time and money that that lawsuit with Jim Bellino took out of Tamara's life. And she fucked up again. She did it again. And I don't even think she cares that much about this conflict with Ryan. I think she's just doing her like, I'm Tamara, I stir up trouble, I need to make sure I have a storyline. Like, honestly, I'm like, is Eddie going to stay with her? Like, is he going to be like, for fuck's sakes, again, Tamara, again, same shit as last time? Like, oh my God, because Ryan's pissed. Like, I don't know. It's not good. It's definitely, definitely not good. So then there's more. Okay. We are not done yet. So then Ryan posted on his Instagram story, and this is what he wrote. I guess he responded to Tamara's video, and he wrote, "Tamara, you are," and he posted this to his story to just like show it to everyone, I guess. He wrote, "Tamara, you are played out. Your shtick is old, and we, the fans of the show," I love how he considers himself that one of the fans of the show. That was funny. "We have evolved and grown up. Your lying, scheming, self-produced drunkenness, nakedness, trailer trash behavior is circa 10 years ago. It's not cute anymore. In fact, it's gross," with a puking face emoji. "And we're over it. Just take a look in the mirror, or if self-reflection isn't your thing, then just read the comments on the blogs, Bravo TV, your own podcast, or your own personal social media. Hashtag it's time." And then Gretchen Rossi, the girl who was on OC like 10 years ago, comes out of the woodwork and she replies to this. And Ryan also put this on his story. And she wrote, "It reminds me so much of what she would do to Slade and I constantly. She would talk mad shit about Slade, and then the second he defended himself or called her out on her BS, she would cry and play victim. It's the same old story, just different characters. I'm so sorry you two are going through this. We love you guys." Listen, is Gretchen correct in the sense that, you know, Tamara kind of repeats these patterns with stirring up trouble, etc.? Yes, she's right about this. However, let's not get into some like revisionist history here, Gretchen, because you and Slade were not innocent in all of this. And Slade was not exactly like Slade was definitely not innocent. OK, like Slade was like a John Jansen. He was the original. OK. And I can never take Slade's side, because the way that he thought it was like okay to just go after women's looks, like, I don't know. He was as much as thirsty as Vicky and Tamara were. Like, Vicky and Tamara were not the victims. I agree with her on that. But he was just as thirsty as they were. And he was just as involved as they were. Okay. And let's not pretend that Gretchen was like Miss Innocent either. Gretchen was very overproduced. Remember that whole like proposal with the helicopter? That was so fucking fake. And then Gretchen was also the one who was always trying to make herself the victim of other people as well. Like, she did the same thing. So whatever. Again, you know, she's not wrong, but it's just coming from her. It's like a little rich. And I get it. Like, she knows she can speak up right now because it was so long ago that she was on the show, and everyone hates Tamara so much right now. Everyone's just going to be like, yes, Gretchen. But, you know, I remember. Okay. And then what else did he write? Oh, yes. Yeah. So then Ryan also posted a poll. This man is so petty. Oh my God. Like, listen, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. I'm enjoying the pettiness. So he puts, "The only storyline Tamara has," I'm assuming he's spelling her name wrong on purpose, but who the hell knows, "has is a mean girl and she should go agree or disagree." And then he has like a yes, no. And then, of course, like most people have said yes. Okay, what else from this whole Ryan story? I think that's the last part. Yep, I think that's the last part. So, yeah. Not the usual, like, oh, Alexis Bellino is like crying and, you know, whining on Instagram about how everything's not fair and we don't know the truth. This is a little different. I'm enjoying this. And you know what? This episode made me realize something that I don't think I realized consciously last week, which is that I'm a little bit sick of the Alexis John Jansen storyline. I feel like it's been like front and center stage this season, because I was like, wow, this week I really enjoyed OC. Like, I always enjoy it. This has been a good season. It's, you know, you can't say it hasn't been a good season. The episodes have all been good. You know, I've enjoyed myself, all that. But this week I was like, really, like, this was a good episode, you know? And I think it's because it was something different, which we needed. We needed to like pivot to something different. So I was really happy that, you know, we got a different storyline. And now all the drama on social media surrounding it is like new stuff. It's not just like I just said, Alexis as usual, you know, I'm the victim thing. Okay. So the other thing that happened is that if you watch the episode, In the episode, Tamara talks about how she was upset because of Ryan doing this interview on a podcast, the podcast being all about the Real Housewives podcast, right? So, you know, So Tamara's kind of calling Ryan out for things that he said about her on the podcast, right? And then at the table, or sorry, not at the table, and then All About the Real Housewives, the account, they actually posted the clips from the original podcast. Because of course, I would do that too if my podcast was mentioned on a show, right? So they did that. They reposted it and they were like, this was the original interview, by the way, with Ryan, or these are like the clips or the parts of it that Tamara is referencing. And then Jen Pedranti, she's really coming into her own as a housewife. So she posted this on her story and she tagged at All About the Real Housewives podcast. Can we please link the podcast from last year? This woman for an entire year drug my man's name through the mud. Remember, before cameras went up, she never had one problem with Ryan. Hashtag needed a storyline. She has over 1 million followers in her own podcast and trashed Ryan regularly. He went on one podcast and spoke his truth. How ironic that she trash talks people on the regular, and if one person says anything back, it's crocodile tears or a drunk slurring of her words. Eddie tried to stop her several times, and after she stumbled out of Katie's home yelling false statements, the guys had a very civilized conversation. We just had to take the trash out so that could happen, with a peace sign. Okay, Jen, I love it. I love that Jen has like found her voice. She's speaking back. She's, you know, putting things in her place. She's, you know, because I guess she's trying to say like, yeah, I get it. Like Ryan did go on this podcast and he did say these things. First of all, I didn't think he said, like, I'm not like a Ryan fan and I don't think he's perfect. Do I think he was probably, you know, sleeping with a lot of married women? Do I think he was probably, you know, maybe not the most trustworthy? Do I think he's involved in shady shit and getting money illegally? Yeah, I do. I think all of that. Do I think he's like the best guy? I don't know. I really don't know. What I do know is that I think that Tamara's beef with him is fake, right? And I do believe Jen that she probably never really, like, she wouldn't have raised any of these issues with Ryan if it wasn't for the show. Like, let's just be honest. And the other thing is that, like, what he said on the podcast, it really wasn't that bad. And it is true. I'm sorry. Tamara talks about whatever she wants to talk about on her podcast, and she has a very popular podcast. She gets her voice out there, and whenever she says anything that's like, you know, especially noteworthy or controversial, the clips start floating around everywhere, you know, and she gets to always share her perspective and defend herself. I mean, like, I was talking about her and Teddy having Watch What Crappens on their podcast last week, and Tamara spent like a whole 10 minutes defending, you know, her position on the Alexis thing, her position on Shannon. Like, she got to say her piece. So, you know, I see what Jen is saying. If he wants to go on one podcast and he gets to say his side, yeah, like, you're allowed to respond. Tamara's allowed to respond. But, like, let's not cry and act like, you know, what he did is so egregious by talking about you on the podcast, because really it just wasn't. Okay. So another thing kind of along the same lines of this is that, of course, you know, Teddy has had Erica Jane on to kind of co-host with her when she talks about Orange County, because I guess Tamara can't do that. You know, so they were talking about Jen calling Tamara trash. And I guess they were kind of saying like, oh, Jen shouldn't have called Tamara trash or whatever. And then Jen, so there was a clip of it floating around on the Bi-Wig Hello Drama Instagram account. And Jen Pedranti again responded, because she has definitely found her voice, and said, girls, I made the post. I completely understand the statement of calling her trash doesn't sit well with you. It's not my nature either, but I apologize. I can't think of another name for her. She has zero class, peeing like a dog on my back patio, sticking her finger in Emily's butt, peeing in Katie's. The fact that she has this many examples just kind of like, Tamara, I think it's, we got to get our shit together, Tamara. Okay. Being like a dog, oh wait, a crying in Big Bear that she's mad at God, screaming at Shannon that she's an alcoholic when we all know Tamara uses alcohol as liquid courage. I could go on and on. She made big allegations against Ryan. She will be hearing about it. I have so much respect for you at the Pretty Mess. I certainly understand I am new and Tamara has been around for a long time. That doesn't mean that me, my partner, or my family take her bashing quietly. At Teddy Mellencamp, I enjoyed you at the Traitor's Party. It feels like you are one of those girls that like whoever your BF likes and hates whoever your BF hates. I mean, that's 100% true. That is the read of the year. Like Teddy's just like, Tamara doesn't like someone, I don't like someone, Kyle doesn't like someone. Like, yeah, Teddy's just a little lapdog. I'm different, but can understand your stance being that you're so close to Tamara. I was once as well. Let's not forget that. Okay. Love it. Love it, Jen. Just a round of applause. I can't because I'm holding my mic, but round of applause. Love it. And I think she made a great point because it's all true. Like, yes, I don't think that Jen is the type of person that would normally just like jump out of the woodwork and call someone trash on social media. But at the same time, this is, you know, this is a situation. And now she's a housewife and she's doing a good job. And of course, like, listen, if this wasn't Tamara, if this was like two other housewives from another show having this exact same situation and argument, Teddy would 100% be on Jen and Ryan's side. Period. Full stop. End of story. Okay. Now, Teddy and Erica are not just in trouble with Jen, but they are in trouble with Alexis too. So they were obviously, you know, discussing the whole like Alexis Shannon lawsuit thing, and Alexis responded and said, guess what the show left out? I did not make it about me. I saw Heather super. So this was about like Alexis trying to make the whole like argument with Emily about her when, you know, I don't even know why Alexis was upset in that situation. It was so thirsty and pathetic, and she was totally trying to make it about her. I hate when people make me agree with Teddy. It makes me so angry, but here I am. Okay, anyways, so Alexis responded, I did not make it about me. I saw Heather super upset after 20 minutes of Emily yelling / ranting on Heather. So then I finally told Emily, maybe you should calm down. It's for charity. Heather has tears in her eyes. She didn't do it intentionally. Then Emily brought me into it with the dress size. So unfortunately, y'all are not seeing the truth and I'm the punching bag. But the truth is coming out on my IG ASAP. Teddy, you met me and should know my heart and knock it off. You're being kind of a bitch to me. Just know that what you're seeing is not true. Okay. I mean, Alexis needs to stop with this whole like, you're going to see it on my Instagram live later ASAP. I'm going to be doing recaps after every episode. It's like, girl, no one cares. I really don't think anyone cares. I don't. I really don't. And you did make it about you. You did. I don't know how, like, yes, I understand that certain aspects of the fight could be edited out, that we didn't see the whole thing, but they didn't edit what you said. You still said what you said, and you were jumping in. Like, you could have just, if you had just sat there and said nothing, they wouldn't have been able to edit anything. Right? Right. Okay. So another, where else was I? Oh yeah. So another little story out of OC that's not as heavy as these other ones, but just kind of fun, is that apparently Emily made a comment about Katie not really living in the OC. So Katie made this like kind of TikTok reel video, and it's like her doing all this stuff at her home. And every time she's doing something in the video, like she's taking out the trash, and it says, I love taking the trash out at my home in Orange County. And at my home in Orange County is in caps. And then she's like sitting on the couch and she's like, I love watching TV on the couch at my home in Orange County. Right. So, and there's like 10 of them. Okay. So I guess, you know, Emily was trying to say that she doesn't, and she's sort of like clapping back at that. And then I posted it because I didn't even realize like who said she didn't live in Orange County. It was Emily. I thought it was Heather because it just seems like something Heather would say. But Katie did comment, you know, somebody posted this and it was talked about on Radio Andy, and Katie commented and said, I love Orange County and I'm never leaving, with three hearts. And then she did send me a DM to say, I do live in Orange County, and it was Emily trying to say that I don't. Okay. Okay. And then Vicky has responded to Alexis and her post from last week where she was calling the Real Housewives of Orange County her career. So I don't know if you guys remember that. If you missed last week's news episode, I went over it all there. You can go back and listen. The timestamps are always in the description if you're looking for a particular show. So basically, Alexis was talking about how this is her career that she chose. So Vicky responded and said, and we know Vicky's always got an opinion when it comes to jobs, you know, get a job, go to work. Like that's Vicky's thing, right? So she responded and she said, she, as in Alexis, didn't make a fortune this season. She was cast as a friend only. If she thinks RHOC is a career, she has a rude awakening. I don't think she's ever had a career. Maybe she should consider getting one because hopefully this is a one season appearance. And then she wrote, and then Vicky wrote career in caps with a laughing face emoji. Which, yeah, I think that pretty much captures all of our opinions on that stupid ass statement. Okay, so speaking of, because we were just speaking about Erica Jane, there's been some big news with her in the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills world, which is that Erica has to give up the earrings. Listen, you all know which earrings I'm talking about. If you watch Beverly Hills and you follow Beverly Hills, you know what I'm saying. Those big diamond earrings that are worth like $1 million, according to Erica, the last time she talked about it on the show. She lost them at a court hearing and the court ruled that the earrings were part of the Girardi estate and therefore came from, you know, victims' money, etc. And now we know Tom has been found guilty and all that. So this is from Ronald Richards. He's that like super thirsty lawyer who's always like posting updates on Twitter about what's going on with Erica and Tom. Listen, he's thirsty. That doesn't mean that he's not still sharing information from the court hearings because, you know, he goes to them and then he types up what's going on Twitter. So, okay, let me just see what he said. Oh, yeah. The ruling. The court rules the funds were commingled. Even Erica's attorney concedes that that is a reasonable inference. Borges reiterates he doesn't approve of anything Tom Girardi did. References his client is not divorced, but still married to Tom Girardi. Yeah, that's something that like Erica likes to talk about it like she's divorced, but she's actually not even divorced. So whatever. Court opines she is still in possession of the earrings and she isn't entitled to the money. I think he forgot they were sold. Her attorney says she married the wrong guy. The judge is reminding the co-mingling was not the issue at the prior hearing. He is just grandstanding now for press purposes. Court orders, earrings are property of the estate. Now they are going to discuss the $25 million lawsuit. Okay, so that's, you know, the kind of sum up there. So yeah, you want the receipts? You know, remember when she was all yelling at Crystal? Where's your information? Where are your facts? Cite them, right? Sorry, cite them. Okay, here's our citations, Erica. You have to give back the earrings. Ha ha. And guess what? On top of that, sorry, I sound like a 5-year-old. I'm like, ha-ha, but I'm really happy that she has to give them up, okay? And I think we all needed reminders that Erica's a terrible person because people seem to be starting to forget. But one thing I will say is that the best part about this is they are going to be sold and she gets nothing from them, not like $0. So, ha, take that, okay? We didn't forget about you, Erica. All right. We know. Yes, you may have had some funny clapbacks last season with Denise and all that. But at the end of the day, you're still a terrible person. Okay. Okay. Let's talk about Kim and Kyle. We haven't had news about them in a while. I didn't try to rhyme on purpose, guys. That just happened. Oh, this is sad, though. I don't like having to report on this story here, but it's happening. And I hate that this is going to be part of the season in a way. Okay. So I'm assuming it is. I don't know for sure, but Kim Richards, this is from TMZ. So TMZ is reporting Kim Richards' confrontation with Kyle after psych hold, family worried about sobriety. So that's the headline. So I'm going to read you just kind of like the most important parts. So Kim Richards has been shut out by her entire family, TMZ has learned, but it's a case of tough love because we're told she's fallen off the wagon and was placed on a psychiatric hold earlier this month, but that hasn't ended the drama. Law enforcement sources tell TMZ they showed up to a home Kyle owns in the LA area Wednesday night after the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star called them in hopes of getting Kim removed from the house. Ooh, that's not good. Okay, we're told Kyle had let Kim live in the house, but she moved out a while back. But Wednesday, Kim showed up again. Law enforcement says Kyle told them she did not want Kim in the house because the family had cut all contact off in hopes that it would shake Kim and get her sober again. We're told cops explained to Kyle it was a civil matter and she'd have to file an eviction action. Kim remains in the house. But it gets even worse. Law enforcement tells TMZ back in early September, Kim was at a Hilton hotel in LA area and was incoherent. Kyle was there, the cops were called, and when they arrived, they asked Kim to leave, but she refused. Law enforcement tells TMZ Kim was placed on a 5150 psychiatric hold and taken by ambulance to a hospital. Ugh, it's just so fucking sad. Listen, I'm not going to jump on the like Kyle's evil train here, even though I cannot stand Kyle. I don't ever need a reason to hate on Kyle. I can't stand Kyle. She's one of my least favorite housewives. However, based on this story and this story alone, I cannot make a judgment on her choice in this situation when it comes to Kim, her sobriety, etc. We don't know the details. We don't know what's going on. I don't know what Kim is doing in the house, if she's doing things she shouldn't be doing, if there's illegal things going on. I don't know if she's trashing the place. Like, I don't know what's going on, okay? I also don't know why, like, you know, if she needed to get kicked out of this Hilton hotel, she's refusing, she's incoherent. She had to be put on a psychiatric hold. Like, what I do know is that Kim has serious, serious mental health issues. Okay. And not just addiction. Addiction is a very serious, difficult one, but she has a lot of others too, clearly. Even if she was sober, she has stuff to deal with, obviously. So I do think that, you know, we need to know the whole story. So I have to reserve my judgment in this case, especially because sometimes in some situations, when it comes to this kind of thing, family members of addicts have to put their foot down and they have to put boundaries down. Okay. There's a very blurry, fine line between being supportive of someone's recovery and enabling. And sometimes people will not get help until boundaries are put down, right? Like, there is a point where you have to stop giving them money, stop enabling certain behaviors, stop making all the problems of their life and that they are causing magically go away. Because if all the problems keep going away and everything is done for them on a platter and there's no boundaries, they will just keep using. So there are things that need to be done. So I don't know the individual situation and what state Kim was at. You know, it's tough. What complicates it too is that Kim has these other mental health issues that I think are pretty serious and is on these medications. Like, everything, it's just a very messy, serious, complicated situation. Now, listen, I'm sure we're going to learn more about this maybe on this season. And this was my worry about Kim making appearances back on the show. Like, I don't think it's a good idea. I just don't think it's good for her. It's not good for her mental health. It's not good for, you know, her recovery. It's not good for her issues to kind of be on display like this. Like, I just don't think it was a good idea. I can, like Kathy can do it, but I don't think that Kim should. And like, here we are again. Like, how is this going to play out on the show, etc.? And listen, if we watch the new season and we see Kyle handling it like a complete asshole, like she has in the past, I'll be the first one in line to hate on Kyle. But that might not happen. Okay. And I am going to give her the benefit of the doubt in this situation. Okay. Okay. So listen, one thing I can say is I hope that Kim Richards can get some help and that she can get back clean and sober and back into recovery. That is, and get the help that she needs. That is what I hope. Okay. So what is next? Let's talk about Salt Lake City. Because there's a little bit of news with Mary Cosby and her church. So Mary Cosby is suing the people who run the finances of her church. So her and her husband slash grandfather and the Faith Temple Pentecostal Church have filed a lawsuit against the people operating the church's for-profit business. It's always weird for me that it's for-profit, but whatever. Okay. Now, the other thing that they're accusing, specifically, is they are accusing them of embezzling millions of dollars from the company and church over the years. This is a very weird story to me, because it's like Mary has always been the one who's been accused of, you know, wrongdoings, of maybe like spending, you know, tithes and church money on like designer clothes, taking advantage of people, you know, kind of running like a culty sort of following. Like, she's been accused of a lot of this kind of stuff. And I think the thing that has raised the most questions is seeing her lifestyle, what she spends on clothing and designer bags and shoes and stuff like that, when it's like, where are you getting all this money from, considering what her and her husband do and the church that they run? So that's always been questionable. So it is interesting that she is suing someone else for embezzling money. So my first thought was, there's a couple different things happening. One, Mary's like, I could have been having more money for all my designer stuff, and you know, you're taking it. So that's one thing, and I'm pissed. The other thing is that she is maybe somehow involved in something, and this is like a way to kind of cover her involvement in it by like shifting the blame. And maybe in terms of like paper trail evidence, you know, it's all going to look like it's these other people's fault, and she was never involved. So it could be that, or it could be the other thing, or it could be neither, obviously. So we will see how this shakes out. Another thing from Salt Lake City is that Meredith posted, I support women in business. So this was her kind of coming after Whitney, who was saying that, you know, Meredith has not been supportive of her with, you know, because of the whole bath bombs argument. So Meredith tweeted and she said, after season one, Whitney was upset that one woman posted her skincare launch online. I told her that if it was her friend, she should have informed Whitney directly. Whitney had a clear understanding of my friendship expectations, yet she did the opposite. Okay. So I guess they haven't made up with Whitney. It seems like Whitney is really being outcasted this season. I don't know. I mean, listen, Whitney has some points when it comes to the other women, but then on the other side, Whitney, a lot of Whitney's points are steeped in hypocrisy. Because, listen, all that stuff they named that she does last week when they were talking about why she's a liar, they're not wrong. Not last week, on the premiere episode. Like, they're not wrong. She did do all that stuff. But they also do stuff. So it's one of those things. Okay, let's talk about Real Housewives of Miami, because I just have a quick update about Lenny and his alleged breakup, I guess. I thought they were breaking up, but now I'm like, what? So she, as in, what's her name, Katerina, posted a selfie and he responded. And this is like after the announcement of their breakup and all that. This was like last week. Okay. And he responded and he's like, most beautiful woman on the planet. Okay. And then she responded to that and wrote, are you flirting with me? ? With a pirate flag. Like, what is happening? What are we doing? Like, are we together? Are we not together? Not that I really give a shit, but now I'm just kind of like, are they just one of those like super dramatic couples like David Bedore and Leslie, where like they get into a fight and then one of them goes and files for separation, and then, you know, a week later they're like, psych, or like, taking it back, we're not really getting divorced, like Leslie did. But then, like, behind closed doors, they're fighting and everything's toxic. I don't know. Like, it's just, it's weird. Okay, so what's the saying? Make of that what you will. That's it. Sorry, everyone, I'm tired. Okay. We also have some news from the Valley. So it seems that Jackson Schwartz thought it was a good idea to show up to the Giggly Squad show in LA. I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know if they thought this was going to be cute, that everyone was going to be like, oh my God, two boys at a Giggly Squad thing. They're supportive of women, or like, you know, oh my God, it's like the stars of Vanderpump Rules in the Valley. So because they're here and we're like pathetic fans, we'll just fawn over them, even though they're complete trash on the show. Like, I don't know what these two guys were thinking, but they came in, they stood up, they asked a question, they asked Paige and Hannah, do you really think we're trash or something like that? And they basically got booed to death. So they got like booed right out of there. Everybody, you know, listen, Paige and Hannah's stans and their like Giggly Squad fandom are pretty intense and pretty devout fans. So like, it doesn't even matter if they're also fans of Vanderpump Rules or The Valley, they're not going to take your side. Also, even people who are not Giggly Squad fans and are just watch those two shows, no one is. Yes, I understand that there are people fangirling over them. I get that everywhere they go that fans are going to want to take a picture, all that kind of stuff. But you're particularly coming to their event and then asking this question, like trying to be cute, and it's not cute. And that's it. No one asked for you to be there. Okay. Now, the other thing is that Jesse and Michelle from The Valley are, I guess, having some co-parenting issues amid their divorce, which... yeah, I'm a little surprised about, because it's like, you know, just based on the Valley news I've been seeing lately and things that they've been posting, you know, there was like pictures of like Jesse and Michelle's boyfriend, like hanging out and seemingly having fun on the cast trip from the season that they're currently filming. There was even a picture of Jesse sitting on Michelle's new boyfriend's lap. They both seem to have like moved on in terms of relationships and seem to be happy in new relationships and even being able to film and hang out together. Like, all that is good. So I kind of assumed, which maybe I shouldn't have, but I kind of assumed that maybe like their co-parenting was at least going better, but I guess it's not. Because I guess co-parenting is a different beast, because Jesse posted this on his Instagram story. Healing is so hard because it's a constant battle between your inner child who's scared and just wants safety, your inner teenager who's angry and just wants justice, and your adult self who is tired and just wants peace. Be gentle with yourself. And then this was like the same day or within the same day or so, Michelle, somebody, she did like an Ask Me Anything thing on Instagram, and somebody wrote, how's co-parenting? And she just posted a video of herself sitting in the car with that Selena Gomez song that she wrote about Justin Bieber. You know, I can't remember what it's called. To Love Me or whatever it's called. You know, it's like a sad kind of ballad. And that song is playing and she's just looking into the camera, trying her very best to produce tears. There's maybe a little tears and crying, but it just is a little performative. And the reason I say that, I'm not saying she's not really struggling with co-parenting with Jesse or that she's not really sad, but it's just like, why are you filming yourself like this? It's very cringe. And then in it, she starts like while she's crying, she starts like fixing her hair and the way she looks. And I'm like, girl, it's coming off very, I want attention, I want sympathy, I want to make sure everyone knows my ex-husband's the villain. Like, it's just, it's not coming off good. Maybe don't like fix your hair and start like crimping yourself in the video. That could have helped. Also, you could just answer the question. You don't have to post this like, you know, victim-y video where it really seems like you have a lot of self-pity. Okay. Anyways. So that was the Valley news. Okay, so what is our last story for today? Oh, wait, we have two. First, we have Real Housewives of New York. So apparently, you know, Rebecca Minkoff's start as a Roni housewife is, it's going to be a rough one. She's not an official housewife. She's a friend of, first of all, we'll start with that. But apparently she, you know, suggested to Jenna Lyons that they have a fake fight over fashion on the new season of Roni. And Jenna was like, no. So people are kind of pissed about that. They're like, oh, great. You know, if it wasn't bad enough, all the Scientology stuff on top of that, she's trying to overproduce and fake produce fights because clearly she was like trying to, you know, get a full time spot, which didn't end up happening. And yeah, so people are not happy. I'm sure that, you know, based on all the feedback and the fan outrage and the Scientology stuff that, yeah, I don't think we'll be seeing Rebecca Minkoff again after this season. And I'm sure her kind of role in this season is going to be pretty, like, I think they're going to minimize it. Okay. Okay, so let's end with some mom talk news, some secret lives of Mormon wives. First of all, People Magazine picked up the story about Jen Affleck and how her husband isn't really related to the Ben Affleck. And I mean, like, there's been like genealogy type of like accounts that do that. And they've been like tracing it all and talking about that. And it's just, it's been, there's no evidence to show that they are in anywhere in any line, have any relation. And now People has picked it up, and Secret Lives of Mormon Wives star Zac Efleck reportedly has no relation to Ben Affleck. Absolutely not true, says a source. So how embarrassing for him. I mean, to me, this is the worst. This is the most embarrassing thing for him. Like, the way that he acted with his wife was the biggest, like, asshole douche moment. This is the most embarrassing by far. And I bet you he's so pissed at Jen for mentioning that in the confessional. Although, who knows? Who knows? Maybe he, like, told her to mention it. And he told her to do the whole, like, oh, he's going to kill me for saying this. Like, I don't know. Because I feel like he probably thought people might think it was cool. And I can see him and her being dumb enough to think that, like, no one's going to look into it. We're just going to, like, or it's not provable and that, you know, there's no way to prove it. And boy, were they wrong. Okay. Now, the other piece of news is a little update about Dakota and Taylor. So I told you last week that they were, like, seemingly broken up, but which it seems like they are. But Taylor, you know, like, she's been posting all these TikToks. She posted this one where, like, you know, she's holding her baby and, like, bouncing it around. And then it says, too triggering to watch the show, but I at least wanted to see my son's birth. And then it shows her watching, you know, the birth of her son on a TV in the video while she's holding her baby. Now, and then she was asked, I guess, by Us Weekly, are you two together or not? Like, based on all these videos. And this is the quote. We are not fully together, but not fully done. Okay. Whatever that means. And then she posted a TikTok saying, not girls coming out of the woodworks about their past with Dakota in brackets, or with Dakota in quotations. Taylor, I think you put the quotes around the wrong thing. Like, wait, is that not really his name? I'm okay. Anyways. I don't even know what she's doing. So is that why you're not fully together, but also not fully done? Because you have to see if there's any evidence for all these allegations coming out first before you can make a final decision or what? Listen, I'm just, in this case, this is a where there's smoke, there's fire. And there's fire. And his name is Dakota. And you need to just break this off. And there's a part of me too that's like, she's doing this kind of ambiguous language and saying we're not done, but we're not, like, it's just to string people along for the next season, for clout, for views, for popularity, for all that kind of stuff. Like, I think there probably is a clear answer about whether they're together or not. And I think she likes it to be vague, right? Because I guess that's a smart kind of PR move in terms of getting engagement and keeping her name in the headlines. Okay, everyone. I think that was our last story today. For bonus content, you can go to patreon.com/bravoandbotox, and $5 a month will give you an extra episode every week. So 4 podcast episodes a month. We have a great time over there and you should join us. And until next time, you are now in the know for everything Bravo. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me, and this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/bravoandbotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/bravoandbotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.